CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Albert G. Spaulding, 1800s Major League Baseball pitcher, manager, owner, and co-founder of A.G. Spaulding Sporting Goods, said, "Everything is possible to him who dares." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who dare. Our first playmaker is a former managing partner and CEO of the Texas Rangers, while our next playmaker created more than $250 million in new private investment in his community's central business district. With us today is a CEO who was instrumental in putting together a deal that saved the Pittsburgh Penguins, while our next CEO runs a chamber for a city that has a cost of living 85% of the U.S. average. These great playmakers are Chuck Greenberg. Chuck is CEO of the Frisco Rough Riders. And Doug Peters. Doug is CEO of the Abilene Chamber of Commerce. And we're beginning today's show with Doug. Doug Peters became president and CEO of the Abilene, Texas Chamber in October 2015. He oversees a chamber in the Abilene Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Abilene Culture Affairs Commission, the Abilene Industrial Foundation. Prior to his time in West Texas, Doug led the Fayetteville, North Carolina Chamber and the Economic Alliance in southeastern North Carolina. Before moving to North Carolina in 2008, Doug led the Chamber and Economic Development Initiative in Findlay, Ohio, with a downtown revitalization strategic planning initiative that created more than $250 million in new private investment in the community's central business district. In 2007, Doug was named the Ohio Chamber Executive of the Year, due in part to his leadership through a major flood event. Doug began his career with the Dayton, Ohio Chamber in 1986 as part of the Chamber's Small Business Development Center. In 1992, Doug took on the leadership role for small business development and programming for the Richmond, Indiana Chamber, where he was ultimately named president and CEO. A lot of chambers to talk about. Welcome, Doug, to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, my question with all that, because you've been to a number of cities, number of states, how does a Buckeye end up in West Texas?
He gets lucky.
I guess so.
He gets lucky. I have to tell you that over the course of my 28-year career, I have aspired to land in Texas for a long time. So,
welcome to Texas.
It's good to be here. I wish I'd been here a long time ago.
You have been with a number of chambers, and you have an interesting story with Abilene, because you're bringing it in. But Abilene has a lot to talk about. It was the first state to incorporate the half-cent sales tax for economic development. How has that impacted Abilene?
Well, back in the 80s, we were thriving economically. It was a great community, running very, very well. A lot of jobs, people employed, a lot of money floating around. And then in the late 80s, the price of oil dropped from a high of maybe $110 a barrel. And we had an unemployment rate that spikes. We got busy trying to diversify our economy. The funding that you speak of that has become a model, not just in Texas, but really the envy of the nation, has been central to that. It has allowed us to compete at very high levels with communities for jobs and capital investment and opportunity for our population.
Now, did Abilene find you? Did you find Abilene, or was it a combination of both?
It was a combination of both. My contract in North Carolina was up for renewal. I had an opportunity really to go to lots of different places, several communities in Texas, and studied those opportunities pretty hard. My family and I made a decision of where I wanted to finish my career. And it was the CEO of our health system in Abilene who said, "If you come to Abilene, you can finish well." I believe that to be the case.
There are worse spots than North Carolina. Nice spot.
It is a nice spot.
But Texas, to me, this is kind of God's country right here.
Exactly.
Well, let me put you on the spot a little bit. Why Abilene? What's the attraction? Why should businesses, even individuals that want to move their maybe retirement, go to Abilene?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, that all the things that you hear about for viable locations from a competitive perspective. You know, it's easy access right on I-20. We have a great workforce. We have a lot of great things happening. But at the bottom of all of that, it's the people. There is an amazing culture among the population of Abilene that is unlike any that I've seen in any of the markets I've served in nearly 30 years of doing what I do. So at the end of the day, it all came down to where do I think the community wants to be successful the most, and that was clearly Abilene.
And what's the difference? You've been to a number of states, number of cities. What's the difference with the people in Abilene and in West Texas?
They want to get along. They want to win. They look for solutions to be successful rather than competing for who gets credit. We have an amazing public-private partnership that exists in Abilene. And those public-private partnerships exist in other communities, but they don't exist at the same depth that they are in Abilene, Texas. And that's really the beauty of that community is everybody wants to win, and everybody wants to find the common way to make that win occur. And I think that that's been Abilene's real recipe for success for a long time.
I can see why we're talking ahead of time. I mentioned that you're the number one cheerleader for
I am.
For Abilene, and I can see why. You have I was speaking, by the way, with Doug Peters. Doug is the CEO of the Abilene Chamber of Commerce. The website to go to is developabilene.com, and that'll let you know what's going on. We also talked before the show started, and I was impressed with, on the website, all the events going on in Abilene. You have something going on all the time.
Absolutely. We operate several functions within the Chamber of Commerce, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We have the Cultural Affairs Council that really has taken a strong sense of ownership in the Central Business District or the downtown of Abilene. We have all the assets that major metropolitan areas have, but we don't have the traffic. And as you mentioned in the intro, we have, we're at 85% of the national average for cost of living. It is the place where people really need to discover and invest a day or a lifetime. It's just a wonderful place.
Well, in looking at your website, the couple other things I saw, which besides more home for the cost of living was more home for the money, mm-hmm. and shorter commutes. You mentioned that too, with less traffic.
That's
How
right.
about more home for the money?
I'm in the process of buying a home. Been there since November. It took me a while to find the place I wanted, but once I did, I am buying the same house that I could have bought in North Carolina for probably 70 cents on the dollar. It's a wonderful value. It's a place where you don't have to spend the majority of your life behind the windshield of your car. You're out enjoying the community. You're doing great things. We have a zoo. We have things that people would not expect to see in a community like Abilene. So Abilene is a great place to discover, and certainly we're open for business and encourage people to come see what we're about.
I think I saw on your website that the average commute is about 14 minutes.
I think that's right.
And
that's on a busy day.
And how large is Abilene?
About 120,000 in the city. If you look at our MSA, our Metropolitan Statistical Area, we're probably closer to 200,000. But we're also the home to Dyess Air Force Base, the B-1 bomber, the C-130J, which transports a lot of material for our military. So we're a very diverse community. We have great industry. We have a military presence, and we have people who just get it and want to make great things happen for their neighbors and for themselves.
Well, San Antonio is known for its military presence, probably the largest amount of military in the state of Texas. How much military, what percent would be military in Abilene?
I think that there's about 5,000 employees at Dyess Air Force Base. They spend about $1 million a day in our local economy. So we're very fortunate and certainly thankful for that presence. And I want to guess that they do make up a good portion of our economy. They're our largest public sector employer. So we're very grateful to have them there and very protective of them. The community embraces our airmen and their families and looks beyond what's happening on that post today to make sure that we're protecting their interest tomorrow.
Well, you have an interesting job because of all the groups you're involved with, usually those are separate within a city and they're separate CEOs. So you're a Chamber of Commerce, you're Develop Abilene, you're the Convention Visitors Bureau. You're doing a lot. You're attempting to bring people in to live. That comes from businesses, and you're also looking for businesses. You're looking for conventions. What's the biggest effort you're focusing on in the short time, three or so months you've been there?
Well, we really want to create a sense of place. We want folks to understand that if they haven't seen Abilene lately, they haven't seen Abilene. We want people to come and explore who we are, where we're going, and be a part of that because it's truly an exciting time to be either a resident or an industrial investor. It's a great place to operate a business. We've got a world-class workforce, and that workforce is growing. And we've got a very active young professional sector that we're incredibly proud of, that are doing great things across our community. And we have a very pro-business atmosphere. If you can't do business in Abilene, you can't do business anywhere. We make it easy. I think that's really sort of the backbone of who we are. We want people to be successful.
And not only that, again, I mentioned the events before, and I think I saw on your websites, you have rodeos, you have balloon festivals.
We do.
Everything for anybody. If you take a look at their website, I mentioned developabilene.com is another website they can go to find just those events.
Abilenechamber.com. And it's all broke down right there on the website. They can find anything they're looking for. And if they can't, they can call our office. The number's right there on the website, and we can direct them anywhere they want to be and help them find what compels them the most.
Yeah, the number's also on PlaymakersTalkShow.com website. Yep. I'm looking at the DevelopAbilene.com website. I see 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different websites they can go to. So they can find anything out
That's
about
exactly
Abilene.
Right. Yeah, whether it be land, available land to build their factory, or a report on how well trained and available our workforce is, to you name it, we have it, and we're happy to tell people about it.
Well, again, as I mentioned, you are now the number one cheerleader for Abilene. You came from North Carolina. As an individual moving to West Texas from North Carolina, what was the biggest thing, aside maybe from money, that really allured you to Abilene?
The people. By far the people. And I know I keep saying that, but I can tell you that the people are not the way they are here everywhere. It is unique. I don't know if it's a Texas thing. I don't know if it's an Abilene thing. But I can tell you that Abilene is the place where I wanted to invest my family's future, and I did it intentionally. I'm excited to be a part of that community's future.
Well, with all this about Abilene, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about either moving there, moving their business, or becoming part of the community.
They can go to any one of a number of websites. A Google search is an easy way to do it, but certainly they can go to AbileneChamber.com, or they can go to DevelopAbilene.com. And all that information is right there, who we are, why we are the way we are, and how to do business with us. It's an easy place to do it.
Well, Doug, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
It's been a pleasure.
Doug Peters is the CEO of the Abilene Chamber of Commerce. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break, but we're going to talk baseball, everything baseball, with the CEO of the Frisco Rough Riders. His name is Chuck Greenberg. Back with Chuck right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to talk everything baseball. For more than two decades, Frisco Rough Riders CEO and general partner Chuck Greenberg has built his reputation as an innovative franchise owner and operator, corporate and sports attorney, deal maker, advisor, and expert on the business and economics of major professional sports. Chuck's involvement with the Rough Riders began in August of 2014 when the franchise group he and Scott Sanju put together finalized the purchase of the franchise for Mandalay Baseball Properties. In addition to his role on the Rough Riders, he currently holds the same title with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, the Class A Carolina League, and the Pennsylvania State College Spikes, Class A short season affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. In November 2009, Chuck and the formation of Greenberg Sports Group, which provides management, consulting, and marketing services to the sports industry across the country. Chuck, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Great to be with you.
We've been talking before the show started. We have a lot to talk about. But how does a Pittsburgh native and a practicing attorney become such a major baseball force in the United States?
Well, I've been very fortunate, Steve. I got out of law school in 1985 and within a couple of years was fortunate enough to be introduced to Mario Lemieux, the great hockey player at the outset of his career. Mario and I got to be great friends. I helped him with a few things professionally, and I can trace almost everything that's happened in my career with no more than a couple of degrees of separation to meeting Mario in 1987. Through him, began to meet owners in professional sports. They introduced me to their friends, and before you know it, I was putting deals together for them to buy teams in a wide variety of sports. And all of that reached a crescendo when I helped Mario and Ron Burkle purchase the Pittsburgh Penguins out of bankruptcy in 1998-99. And a short time after that, had an opportunity to buy my first minor league baseball team, the Altoona Curve. And that morphed into the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, the State College Spikes. I sold Altoona at the end of 2008, decided that I would take some time off. And 4 months later, I was in Tom Hicks' conference room in the Crescent looking at buying the Rangers. So I didn't do the kick and back thing all that well, but had a great experience with the Rangers and, of course, sold back out a few years ago and laid low until purchasing the Rough Riders. So I'm sort of like Garrett Morris's old character on Saturday Night Live, Chico Escuela. Baseball's been very good to me.
Apparently it has for a number of years. It's interesting how, looking back, just one decision can change your life. And that was Pittsburgh and the Penguins back in what year was that? You helped pull them out?
Well, the Penguins went into bankruptcy in the fall of 98, and about a month later, with Mario being owed a lot of money by the franchise and its future in Pittsburgh being very much in doubt, Mario and myself and his agents and another good friend of ours were having dinner and trying to figure out what to do, and kind of had this light bulb eureka moment when we all thought of the same thing, which was, well, let's buy the team, which was a great idea, but it reminded me of when I came home from school one day and told my mother I was forming a musical band, and she pointed out that I didn't play an instrument because we had no money, we had no management team. We had nothing but Mario's inspiration and persona, and it became a labor of love for all of us, and we worked tirelessly for about a year and ultimately were able to pull it off and secure the Penguins' future for the first time, and then had an opportunity to do that again in 2007 when we were able to reach a deal to build a new arena for the Penguins that truly secured their future for a very long time.
So sometimes not knowing is the best route to take, because you didn't know what you couldn't do, and you made it happen.
Yeah, you know, it's easy. You know, it's interesting. Having gone to law school, there's some consequences going to law school. One of them, you can become very, very good at figuring out how to take the transistor radio apart. But the real, the important thing in life is to know how to put things back together. And I've always prided myself on being a problem solver. And if there's a problem, fix it. If there's an opportunity, try to take advantage of it. And I've been fortunate to have a lot of opportunities to do that.
Well, let's talk about that, because as I mentioned before the show started, when I walked into see the Frisco Rough Riders last year, I was absolutely amazed how the ballpark was still there, but it changed. Let's talk about what you've done to change the Rough Riders over the last year plus.
Well, Mandalay Baseball did a terrific job launching the Rough Riders way back in 2003. And over time, Mandalay became acquired by a private equity fund. They were terrific people, but they were getting to the end of their investment window right around the time the economy began to have some problems. So they went through 4 or 5 years where they were just hanging on, waiting for the right moment to sell. And when you do that, you're not in a growth mode. So by the time we took over, what had been a terrific template had become stale. Beautiful ballpark, but not much had been done to it in a number of years. Even the in-game entertainment, they were kind of going off a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of the original. So we thought it was a great opportunity to come in to a wonderful community, a strong legacy for the franchise, and instill a sense of renewal. So the first thing we did was a complete rebranding, all new logos, marks, colors, uniforms, you name it. And we decided to embrace the true history of the Rough Riders, and that begins with Teddy Roosevelt. And so we went all in on Teddy. So we've got, Smiling Teddy is one of our logos. Swinging Teddy, we call him because he's swinging a baseball bat. We went with colors that are representative of that era. They're kind of faded, like they've been sunbaked. It's a red, white, and blue, but as though they've been out in the sun for a few months. And some really cool-looking old-school uniforms that went over very, very well. We announced that about 11 months ago, and our merchandise sales went up by almost 300% in 1 year. It's really remarkable. Frisco was an afterthought in industry merchandise sales, and we're near the top of the entire industry in just 1 year. Then we decided to take a look at the ballpark. The city of Frisco and all of its development organizations are wonderful public sector partners. We worked out a very innovative deal with them that created $6 million in public funding to go with our own private funding, and we put a little over $5 million into the park last year that completely transformed the experience. We put in the largest, most high-definition video board in minor league baseball, created a new sound system with the help of a sound savant that I'd met in my Ranger days from California, and we've got a sound system that's better than most major league parks.
You can hear it.
Oh, it's remarkable. It throughout the entire footprint of the ballpark, not just in the seating bowl. We create a new state fairway area with all sorts of interchangeable food portables, a rotating series of food trucks like Ruth's Rolling Cafe, Fletcher's Corny Dogs. It's just a tremendous state fair type atmosphere. We put in a new sports bar, the Bull Moose Saloon, new season ticket holder lounge, the InTouch Grill, created a new merchandise store three times the size of the original that's much more centrally located, and completely reinvented the in-game entertainment. And we just had a great year. I mean, we grew attendance by more than double digits. We had 7 of the 9 largest crowds in franchise history. Our sales this off-season are going extraordinarily well. And, you know, it was the first year of what we think is going to be a wonderful experience with Frisco and the Rough Riders.
What I'm amazed with, and by the way, you can go to ridersbaseball.com to find out everything Frisco Rough Riders. You have a number of packages people can buy, from single games all the way up to full season, but it's amazing what you get for those packages. And with all the money you've put into it, prices, correct me if I'm wrong, really haven't gone up that much.
No, in fact, we cut them. I'm really big on cutting prices. You know, the first day that we owned the Rangers, we had a sold-out 3-game series come up against the Red Sox, and I decided we were going to cut the price of beer, soda, hot dogs, popcorn, pretzels, and parking. And thanks to the genius of my good friend Chuck Morgan, we also cut the price of hot chocolate because it was going to be about $105 that weekend, too. And, you know, a lot of the folks at the time around the franchise and our concessionaire said, well, why are you doing that? The games are sold out. Why don't you wait till the Monday series against Seattle? Those aren't sold out. And I said, because it's the right thing to do. It sends the right message to our fans. That's how we're going to run the team. It belongs to them. We're not going to try to take advantage of the situation. And you don't do the right thing because it's strategic. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. If we wait till Monday, it's actually kind of cynical. So we did that on day one, and the Dallas Morning News ended up writing an editorial saying how refreshing it was that we did that, particularly the games being sold out. And that sort of established what our brand with the Rangers was and was going to be, which is we were the good guys who just tried to take care of everybody. And, you know, that worked in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and it works today in Myrtle Beach and State College in Frisco. It's not that hard, Steve. You know, you just try to take care of people, do the right thing, and folks do appreciate it. And that's what we've done in Frisco, and it's going great.
Well, the value for the dollar is there, and this is really a family ballpark. Lots going on, and I don't think people realize that they haven't been to a Rough Riders game, but you've got stuff going on. As I mentioned to you, there's entertainment in between innings. So innovative. I've never seen some of the games that your people come up with, and they're having fun.
They're having a blast, and all sorts of fun theme nights. You know, we had a college night late in the season, and about three-quarters of our fans showed up with the jerseys of their favorite college team. We had marching band music. We did all kinds of things, and, you know, had a great night. We had a full house night. We brought back Dave Coulier, who was Uncle Jesse from Full House, and he came in. We had a record crowd that night. We've got this year, in honor of the Steve Harvey Miss Universe snafu, we've got runner-up night. We've invited Miss Columbia and Steve Harvey, and I don't know if we're going to have her throw out the second pitch or maybe have her throw out the first pitch, but at the last second have someone else throw it instead. I don't know, but we have a lot of fun, and we try to instill a culture that is extremely respectful of baseball and the men who play it, but very irreverent about everything else. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and we're just trying to have fun and create a really enjoyable atmosphere for all of our fans.
Well, one of the games I went to last year had a local marching band doing the national anthem.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's different. Yeah. It's different every game.
Yeah, we've got Little League baseball and softball teams that take the field with our players in our Field of Dreams program before every game. We've got you know, different anthem singers or performers every night. We honor our local veterans every night. You know, there's a little something for everybody. And terrific baseball, too. But you don't have to love baseball. If you love baseball, it's a great environment. But if you don't like baseball at all, but you want a good time, it's a great environment. There really is something for everybody.
There's almost more to do. Let me switch from the Rough Riders a moment. You were involved in something called Project Brand. What is that?
So Project Brand was an effort that I helped spearhead to help minor league baseball and our 160 clubs spearhead the collective reach that we have throughout the country. About 90% of the population in the United States lives within a short drive of an affiliated minor league baseball team. And yet there had never been a collective effort on the part of the industry to harness what that means. Our fans are who Madison Avenue are looking to reach, but there was no way to do that. So myself and a couple of my colleagues in minor league baseball and our terrific industry president, Pat O'Connor, formed this company a couple of years ago, and we're making really nice inroads. We think that's going to be something that's going to make a positive contribution to minor league baseball and to our teams, and we're really excited about it as an initiative.
Well, you've also been working pretty closely with Fox Sports Southwest in a number of initiatives. What's going on there?
Well, I have a terrific relationship with Fox going back to when I did the television deal for the Pittsburgh Penguins many, many years ago that really helped restore their financial stability after the bankruptcy when we helped Mario and Ron Burkle purchase the team. I did that again with the Rangers when we signed a landmark deal that at the time was the largest in the history of single-team American professional sports. And I have a great working relationship with John Heidke here locally and all of his colleagues. So we had a few games on Fox this past year. We're hoping to have a much larger slate of games of the Rough Riders on Fox this year. And hopefully that's something we're going to be able to announce soon.
Well, after listening to you and meeting you, I'd have to put the word innovative tied in with Chuck Greenberg. And I was amazed at what I saw at the park last year. What do we have in store for this year?
Well, you know, Steve, first, it all starts with having fun, and to have a not fully rested 12-year-old sense of humor isn't a bad thing either. But, you know, we try to instill a culture where all of our staff, they're having fun, they're contributing ideas. We welcome ideas from our fans, from media, from visiting players. Anybody who can help us be a little better, we welcome that. And our big idea for this season, which we're very close to making a decision on whether to proceed, is to rip out the swimming pool that's in right center field right now, which is a nice pool, but it's kind of small and you can't see it from the seating bowl, and replace it with something that has never been done in any sports facility anywhere in the world, to my knowledge, and that is a from the right field foul pole nearly all the way into center field, a 200-foot-long, 400-foot of circulation lazy river swimming pool that would have two islands in the middle of it, a pair of 30-foot-high, 30-foot-long water curtains in the back with three cabanas. You know, we can put together an experience in the games floating around in the lazy river, you know, as home run balls come in there. And, you know, with the state-of-the-art sound system blaring and our incredible video board going, and really create an in-game experience like nothing. Someone said to me when I mentioned it the other day, well, that sounds a little bit like that pool they have with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I said, no, that's a wading pool compared to this. This is big-time stuff. So we're excited about it. We can do all kinds of pool parties on off days. And we think it'll be the kind of thing that everybody in the Metroplex is going to talk about, and everybody's going to want to come and see and experience with us.
We've heard it here first. First game for the Rough Riders is April 14th against Northwest Arkansas. Well, Chuck, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.
Chuck Greenberg, CEO and Managing Partner of the Frisco Rough Riders, thank you very much for joining us. This has been a great show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our past episodes. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.